7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again, of course, and as always, I am here with Tim and Tom, Pony Cake Sports members. Guys, how's it going? How are you?
Woo!
I'm doing good. I'm glad that I'm back from my suspension. The three bye guys are over. We are now here, ready to start the show, ready to talk some actual football, talk some actual some sports. We'll talk some sense, talk some real things.
Again, everybody, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can always follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tim, at Pony Cake Tom. Email us if you hate us or if you like us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. And always check out our website, ponycakesports.com. Also, get you guys selves a jersey. There's a free jersey raffle giveaway that we are doing. Email us your fantasy football questions. Get entered into that raffle. Le'Veon Bell, autographed jersey, being given away in the next couple of weeks. And one other thing that we do want to shout out is our friends at CleatGeeks.com. Check them out and everything that they do over there.
Yeah, and, you know, we are giving away a jersey, like Josh mentioned. Our buddies over at 8-Bit Bros are giving away Ren show-worn panties. So they're giving those out to all you weirdos out there.
Wow, and you have them at your house?
No, Ren's going to ship them out to you.
Interesting. All right, that's weird, but I guess it works.
I agree. I don't know why that's a contest for them, but apparently it's something they do.
That's a contest on their
own.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
That's very weird, but it is what it is. So let's go ahead and start off with our Week 8 predictions that we have going on. And if you guys want to know or listen to our Week 7 recap that we did, it has been launched, so do yourselves a favor and listen to that. And then listen along with our week eight predictions. Oh, my God. Tongue-tied there. Here we go.
Good sentence, bro.
First matchup. Oh, and before I start off, the teams on bye this week. First off, I want to talk about that. How does the NFL go from two teams on bye, two teams on bye, and now, what was it, six, Tom?
Six, yeah.
Six teams on bye. We have the Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, the Rams, the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. How does that happen?
I believe one of those weeks was just statistically how things had to work out. Another one of those weeks was the times that the Dolphins were supposed to be on bye.
No, them and the Bucks were both on week 11 bye.
Oh, from the start. In that case, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't understand how it can go from 2-2.
Blame Roger Weinstein.
So,
I don't know.
Roger Weinstein.
He wasn't jerked off enough, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, my Lord. All right, let's move on to the Thursday night matchup. We have a great barn burner, the Miami Dolphins versus the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
The Atlanta Ravens.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens.
Dolphins!
In Baltimore. Guys, terrible game.
This is the worst game of the week. Only reason I really want to watch this is because I love Matt Moore. Just purchased his jersey. I'm going to try to get it autographed when I'm at this game. Probably be the only fan there because this might be the worst game ever on Thursday night. But I really have no idea who's going to win. But I'm going to give it to the home team. That's what I've been doing on these Thursday night games.
Get out of Dodge, Tom. Matt
Buck
Moore
Allen
versus
doing
Joe
a good job.
Flacco. Jay Ajayi versus Buck Allen. The battle. Raven versus Dolphin. Bird versus Mammal. It's a freaking war. Can't wait for Thursday.
Who do you have winning?
6-3, Dolphins win. I had the Ravens. For real, though, not the Dolphins.
I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to pick opposite. And only reason why...
Well, that worked out for you last week. Huh?
I know.
You had a rough week last week.
I only had 8 wins last week.
So I was down big time. And Tom and I both had 11... Your wife, that little minx, we keep giving her a pinch on the ass and tipping her a quarter. 12 wins for her last week.
She's doing good.
64 total points. Sweet mother of pearl. You and I tied at 11. Josh, only 8. So carry on, Joshua. Sorry.
Where are we at for the total rankings? Tom, you finally took me over, right?
That's what I just said.
So
Amanda's in first, or our waitress, I'm second, then you, and then Timmy.
I just think Matt Moore is going to be able to command this offense. That's what I'm hoping for. So better than Jay Cutler standing on the sidelines. So Miami Dolphins for me. Next up, we are going to go with the Minnesota Vikings versus the Cleveland Browns.
They are in London once again at 9:30 a.m., the last game of the week. If you listened to our previous show, I believe I said it was 33-2 was the average point score of each of these games. Disgusting. It is going to continue. The Minnesota Vikings are going to dominate. It is going to be 42-3.
Yeah, this is going to be a bad game. If you're in daily, Vikings will probably be the most started defense. They should be able to control this game on the defensive side of the football. Who knows? Who'll be the quarterback for the Browns? Jackson might have each quarterback start a quarter and switch it off at halftime. That's a complete disaster for the Browns right now. Big time win for the Vikings. 6-2.
Yeah, Vikings for me in this game as well. I think we're going to see a little bit more of Jerick McKinnon as compared to last week. And I think this might be the first time we see three quarterbacks going into this game for the Cleveland Browns. I think they're just going to keep changing it up. So
the Cleveland Browns are just a freaking abortion right
now. Who starts this game? Cody Kessler?
It should be DeShone Kizer, but yes, it's going to be Cody Kessler.
Who would be number two? Kizer, I assume, then.
Kizer.
And then Hogan after that. So
I hope they sign Kaepernick. Add some craziness to this.
They won't. It'd be fun. They should have done that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they should have.
For you guys.
Do you think they sign Kaepernick sometime?
No.
No?
Their season's already over. Just go for the
first
pick.
Why waste the money now?
Just end it. Just end it now. Just be done.
You know Joe Thomas is done already. Like, I feel bad for him.
I don't know why the Packers haven't signed Colin Kaepernick. I really don't. Like, I get, like, they're...
They refuse to do it. Mike McCarthy said right away that Kaepernick is not the guy. But the thing is, Kaepernick's been in a Packers jersey before when he was, like, 12 years old. He had a Brett Favre jersey on. Well, there's pictures of it.
The point
is... Might as well just make him another Packer.
Like, it just... None of it makes any sense. I'm not, like, I don't support what he does. But at the end of the day, like, when you have a deep playoff-ready team and you refuse to sign him, you're just like, hey, you know what? He's not the answer because we here in Green Bay are still pretty racist. So we're probably not going to. That is the honest-to-God reason of why they would not bring in Colin Kaepernick.
No, it's not.
How? What other reasoning do they have?
Like, do you really think it's like easy just to bring a quarterback in and have him know what's going on the week of? That's like sending you to Spain right now. Be like, you gotta learn Spanish by Sunday and be able to.
Hola, mamacita, tú tienes mucho grande chichis. Ay, ay, ay.
You have no idea what you're doing.
I just told her she has great big tits. That's equivalent
to what learning the Green Bay Packers offense would be in a week.
No, you know what?
It's stupid.
No. What's stupid is starting Brett fucking Hundley as your quarterback, who is a train wreck of a person. He's awfully. He's the equivalent to when they brought in the running back from the Seahawks last year.
Christian Michael.
Thank you, Christian Michael, to try to come in and be the running back.
It's the same thing. The Bears just gave Mike Glennon $15 million. The Colts put Scott Tolzien out there in the beginning of the year.
How do you put that on the same level?
It's the same shit.
It's not.
They're all bad quarterbacks, but there's not 32
Kaepernick's
good quarterbacks
not a
in the world.
Bad quarterback.
He's not good.
Kaepernick is literally better than everyone you just named. By far. Not even close.
Well, he could be and he couldn't be. We haven't
seen
him play.
No, he is. That's a fact.
We haven't seen him play.
It's a fact.
Where's the evidence?
You take Colin Kaepernick and you put him with Ty Montgomery / Aaron Jones. You put him with Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams. You put him with Martellus Bennett. The Green Bay Packers maybe lose 1-2 games for the rest of the year. Maybe.
You're nuts. Same
way that they were with Aaron Rodgers.
I get both sides of it, and believe me, I am definitely not
Brett fucking Hundley.
I'm not a Brett Hundley fan at all. I've stated my case about it over and over again. But at the same time, it is very tough to change course and go from a quarterback that you are saying, if Aaron Rodgers goes down, this is our guy to replace him. It's tough to tell a team, the rest of the team, to say, hey, you know what? Even though we had him, and even though he was our fail-safe option, we're going to go out and get somebody else that hasn't even been a part of our team. What is that saying to the rest of the team? What is that saying to the quarterback position?
It's saying that guy was a piece of garbage. You saw that in his first game, so now we're going to bring in a real quarterback.
Now, if you're telling me three games in and he loses all three games...
Why wait three games?
Because that's just the way it's going to go. That's just how it's going to go.
You just got embarrassed.
How many games did it take with Scott Tolzien? One, two, three?
It was one game.
One game? Maybe one game then.
At home against the terrible Saints defense, you just got embarrassed. I get that the Saints defense has been better, but they still got embarrassed. They need a real quarterback.
You're acting like he's a great quarterback. He's not. Look at him last year in the Niners. He wasn't a game changer for the Niners. They were a bad football team, and you're acting like the Packers have a great defense They would need a great defense for Colin Kaepernick to be a playoff type quarterback.
Answer me this question. If you put Aaron Rodgers on that 49ers team last year, are they that much better?
They'll probably be an 8-win team.
Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. Are they that much better?
With an elite quarterback, yes, they would be.
No, they're not a playoff team. They're not a deep run playoff team. They're maybe a 500 team in your mind with doing that. Colin Kaepernick had them on the cusp of that.
They weren't even close. They were top two pick in the draft.
On the cusp of it.
Well, all right, let's move on.
Done race baiting on this episode.
It's not race baiting. I'm white. I can't race bait. I'm white.
Moving on. We have the Dolphins. Atlanta Falcons versus the New York Football Jets.
Atlanta Falcons are mad like they should be. They go in there. They embarrass the Jets. End of story.
I don't think the Jets have enough money to get 10,000 fog machines into the stadium and cause a fog out to have Fog Gate 2.0. The Falcons get on track. They decide to run the football and not run end arounds on fourth and goal. Devontae Freeman, big time game. Falcons win by 32.
I want to pick the Jets, but I'm not going to.
Just do it.
No, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons in this game. Same reasons that you guys said, but Falcons, they lose to the Patriots, and they are going to be very pissed off when it comes down to this game. The Jets, I do like them. I like how McCown's playing. He's scoring points, but the Falcons will just be too much. Next up, the Raiders versus the Bills.
This is one of my matchups of the week, actually. It's tough. It's very tough. The Raiders obviously showed some big strides there with that late win against a very game Kansas City team, but the Bills' defense is for real, in my opinion. Oh, I think the Raiders have just enough. I think Derek Carr, Crabtree, and Cooper find a way to put it all together. Like I mentioned in one of the previous episodes, is Marshawn Lynch lit a fire. United the team. The Raiders win 24-17.
It's tough for West Coast teams to travel all the way across the country, go on the East Coast. That's what the Raiders have to do here. I'm going to have to go with the Buffalo Bills. They found out last week that they can run the football. They are going to be able to run the football against the Raiders, and I think they'll be able to get the job done. And another big game for Shady McCoy.
The Bills will get another win under their belt here. I want to pick the Raiders, but at the same time, I feel like those 19 targets to Amari Cooper were just super forced to him. I don't think they're going to have very much of a running game, and it's not because Marshawn Lynch is going to be out this game. I just don't think that DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard are that great of running backs. They're good change of pace guys. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. But at the same time, I just think Buffalo is going to keep this one close, and if it's going to be a close game, it's going to be in Buffalo's favor. So, next up, Chicago Bears versus the New Orleans Saints.
This is a pretty interesting matchup.
It is, Tim.
No. The Bears have won two in a row. Mitchell Trubisky is lighting the world on fire, averaging six attempts a game. The Chicago Bears they're playing 1943-style football. It's extremely exciting for Bears fans like Tim, but I don't think those six passing attempts and four completions per game is going to get it done against the Saints. The Bears have been lucky. They've kind of been cheating. They have the worst field ever.
Yeah, their grounds crew are definitely the MVPs of this league.
They are doing it on purpose. It's absolutely disgusting what this franchise is doing. They should be moved to St. Louis. Get rid of this Chicago Bears team. The St. Louis Bears will lose this game. and the Saints will be able to run the football and get the job done.
I like that, the St. Louis Bears. Tom, I'm kind of on board with you. I'm fully expecting the Bears to come out in leather helmets. That's how old school they're going to play this game. Howard and Cohen combined for 65 carries. I don't know. I just have the Saints winning big. The Bears defense is fantastic, but they're not going to be able to do enough. Saints win 42-4.
If this wasn't Chicago, I may have actually picked Chicago.
Yep.
So what happens is the grounds crew come out. They have a blueprint of the field, and they show them where all the potholes are, like you said, Tim, are on the field, and all the turf that's loose. So they say, you know, they circle it. They say, stay away from this area. Stay away from this area. So if it was in Chicago, I would have maybe have leaned towards the Bears in this game because I think it would have made that game just that much more interesting. But I think that the Saints at their home field is just going to be a different ball game. The field is not going to be an absolute mess, obviously. And Drew Brees going to rebound from his two-interception game that he had this past week against the Packers. And I don't want to say they're going to torch the Bears, but they are. The score is going to be like 38 to... I'm going to give them one defensive touchdown to 10. So
Eddie Jackson again?
Maybe. We'll see. Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Cincinnati Bengals. Also, I think there's like 40,000 tickets available for this game. So if you want to go to this game, you definitely can.
Yeah, there should be. No one should go to pay to watch this dumpster fire. Indianapolis Colts are coming out. They were shut out last week for the first time since 93. That offense is abysmal. They lost one of their best defenders. John Simon will probably be out for the week. Malik Hooker is out. A.J. Green, Andy Dalton are going to be able to have their way with the Colts. Chuck Pagano is the worst coach in the NFL. I hope this game is 108-0, so Pagano gets fired. Big-time win for the Bengals. Hopefully Joe Mixon gets more than his 11 touches that he had last week.
Tom, you hit the nail on the head. Listen, the Colts are looking for an excuse to fire Chuck Pagano. Eugene came out and said, hey, our offensive line is hot garbage.
He apologized.
And then he apologized. And the offensive line said, well, yeah, it's clear he apologized, but we actually really do suck. So that is all good and well. This is going to be Joe Mixon's coming out party. Over 150 yards rushing. Colts defense hasn't been that bad. Joe Mixon's going to make them look that bad. 150 plus and a tutty for one Joe Mixon. The Bengals win.
It's kind of shocking that you say 150 for Joe Mixon because the Colts run defense has not been the worst run defense at all.
Isn't that what I just said?
But the thing is, why? How could you say? I'm trying hard to see.
TJ Yeldon had over 100 yards last week.
Why am I going to say he's going to do that? Because the Bengals are going to be up pretty big early, and they're going to say, "Hey, you know what? You want a bitch? You rookie son of a B. Guess what? Here's the football. Let's show me what you can do." And he's going to go and he's going to take advantage of that situation. And he's going to run the ball. He's probably going to have over 30 carries, over 150, and a tutty.
All right. I guess we'll see.
That would be great.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Bengals winning this game as well, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout like you're thinking, Tim.
Well, that's because you're a racist.
No, that's definitely not why. I just definitely don't think it's going to be a blowout. So Cincinnati Bengals for me in this game. Kind of want to just pick the Colts, just go against you, but I'm not going
to. You should.
Do it.
Be a very good call for you.
Next up, L.A. Chargers versus the New England Patriots.
Chargers have been hot. They've won three in a row, playing some good football. And Phillip Rivers has been the guy. And I like him in this matchup a lot. New England, not really sure what defense that's going to be coming out. Last week, they played good. They were able to run the football, keep that defense off the field. And when they were on the field, they were able to shut down a pretty good offense. But it's hard to go against the New England Patriots, especially when they're at home. A big-time win for the Patriots in this one, 6-2, and on their way to another Super Bowl. Great.
I really, really, really wish I had the intestinal fortitude to pick the Chargers.
Just do it.
I really want to. The Patriots defense has left so much to be desired. I feel like the Chargers could have the opportunity to take advantage of that. But it's going to be another opportunity for the Chargers to disappoint with a last-minute field goal by the Patriots to win 31-28 Patriots.
You know who's got that stuff, Tim? I do. I'm going with the Chargers.
Woo!
Making my upset pick here. But I feel like every time I pick the Chargers, they lose, so kind of feel bad. But Chargers for me, I think that that New England defense, yes, they played a little bit better last week against the Falcons, but as of late, they have not been playing great, just like Tim stated. And the Chargers have been looking better and better each week. Their defense, better and better each week. Their special teams, better and better each week. We saw Travis Benjamin with a punt return this past week. They've been looking good. They have to get Melvin Gordon the ball in this game. They have to get him his carries. They have to get him his dump-off passes. Melvin Gordon has to get going in order for the Chargers to be in this game. And they have to be in this game from the get-go. So,
teams who have given the Patriots issues have been able to get after Tom Brady. That's what we've seen out of the Chargers.
Joey Bosa.
Bosa and Ingram. I think, Tim, what was it, 17 sacks?
17 sacks combined between the two of them. More than 20 NFL teams.
So, absolutely nuts. So, they got two thoroughbreds that can get after the quarterback and just take it to Brady. If they want to win this game, they're going to have to hit him often and give Melvin Gordon 35 rushing attempts in this game.
I love nothing more than comparing defensive ends to valuable horses. Nothing more. Probably my favorite thing the show has. Thoroughbreds.
Next up. Next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, good Lord. This one, Niners. This is probably going to be an ugly one. You know, the Niners had the Dallas Cowboys at home last week. Got absolutely embarrassed. Now they have to travel all the way across the East Coast, which is tough for any West Coast team, and face one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. Carson Wentz is going to have his way with the Niners in this one. It's going to be a big-time win. C.J. Beathard, I'm sorry, kid.
It's pronounced beat hard, but we'll see what happens. I don't even know what to say anymore to Carlos Hyde owner. I don't know what that Jamoke's name was on Twitter that you made that bet with, Tom, but it's becoming more and more evident. It's the same thing. The first 4 weeks, he has good game, bad game, and then he disappears. Kind of the same thing it's always been for one Carlos Hyde. I can't agree more with what Tom said. They have to go across country. Carson Wentz, I mentioned in a previous show, on MVP track. He has that mentality, too, where he just wants to keep piling on. That's exactly what's going to happen. Five more touchdowns for Carson Wentz this weekend.
Five? Really?
Five.
Wow. How many rushing?
One.
One rushing. All right.
Touchdown? So you're saying he's going to have six touchdowns?
No.
No. Five one touchdowns. Rushing touchdown and four passing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Whew. Eagles for me in this one. And
come on, dude. Yeah, switch it up a little
I'm
bit.
I'm not going to switch. Why don't you switch it up, asshole?
I'm good.
Asshole.
Wow. The Eagles going to roll in this one. That's all I can really say. Wentz has been, like you said, MVP caliber. If you guys had to pick an MVP, or maybe we want to talk about this Carson later, Wentz. Who is the MVP right now?
Andrew Luck. We've seen what the Colts are without him. And they're one of the worst teams in the NFL without him. So Andrew Luck, he hasn't taken a snap this year, but he deserves the MVP.
I will say Mitchell Trubisky. He's only completed 12 passes in two games, but he's got two wins. That means a little work, big reward.
Oh, my God.
You guys are like our answer.
Making a joke of this. You assholes. Not very nice.
My real answer would probably be Wentz right now.
Yeah.
Eagles 6-1, probably, in my eyes, the best team in the NFC right now. And he's playing lights out.
Mine would be co-MVPs, Melvin Ingram, and Joey Bosa.
Shut up. Cough medicine gets Tim again.
Yeah. What?
They're 3-4.
Yeah?
You're giving them the co-MVP.
Co-MVPs. Okay. They'd be 0-7 without them.
Oh, my God. Next up, Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Josh, your Bucks, kind of disappointing this year.
They're not good on the road.
They are not good on the road. But guess what? They are home. Yep. They are playing in front of all those weird pirate people, all those weirdos that dress up as pirates and stand on that ship over in the west side of the stadium. Absolutely a bunch of weirdos. I don't know who all these people are that are Buccaneers fans. Bucks, they're going to get a win, though. They're at home. They shouldn't win this game. Everyone's going to be picking the Panthers. They're coming off one of their worst performances of the year. And Cam Newton is bipolar. He definitely is. He's scared of that woman that he made fun of. And he's going to be scared of this Tampa Bay defense that hasn't been relevant all year. But it's going to be relevant this week.
I am also picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So we're all taking them.
It's going to happen. Listen, I like the Bucs at home. I agree. They have RuPaul's drag show over on the boat in on the end zone over there. But listen, I like what the Bucs bring. I like Jameis. He looked great after being injured. Doug Martin has proved his worth tenfold. And O.J. Howard being a valuable part of this offense now, combined with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, potentially could be a person to watch this week. So give me the Buccaneers and a big division win 2014.
Speaking of O.J. Howard, do you think that the Bucs need to use O.J. Howard more, or do you think that they still need to rely on Cameron Brate, or, you know, kind of like how they have been doing, whoever's got
all
the hot hand?
See, all of the above.
I agree with that. No reason to force him the football, yeah. But it was obvious that the Bills weren't expecting him to be used that much in the passing offense because he hasn't all year, and that's been kind of Cameron Brate's role, and he surprised them, and they weren't ready for it. Just keep doing that. Give him opportunities. He's a physical freak. He's one of the better athletes out of the tight end class this year and one of the best athletes at the tight end position in the NFL. So hopefully they keep using him.
Yeah, crazy to think that Jameis with the AC sprain or whatever came out through the ball, what was it, 44 times last week?
I bet you
they didn't think that either. Because everybody thought Doug Martin, this was the game. He was going to get over 30 carries, and that's what he was going to be there for with fantasy points.
You as a Bucs fan, does that make you mad, make you nervous? It's not a fake. I mean, that can be a serious injury. Could be something that can haunt him for a long, long time.
Well, I don't think the game plan from the get-go was to throw the ball that much. They were down early, and they were running the ball early, and then they thought to themselves, you know what, we actually got a shot at this, so that's where they started throwing the ball more. Does it worry me with Jameis and his shoulder? To a certain degree, yeah. Honestly, if you were going to sit him a game, this would have been that game to sit him because it's against Buffalo. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's played Buffalo before. He's an experienced quarterback. You can kind of get through it. You know, it's not a, I don't want to say it's not out of the realm for Ryan Fitzpatrick to win that game possibly. It was definitely a winnable game, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is. They wanted to win a football game.
Josh, that is a terrible excuse that you just made for your Buccaneers.
Whoa, bro.
It's the same thing. It honestly reminds me of the excuse I give to my wife. Like, oh, we were at the bar, and I just started drinking. And I had a few more beers. And I thought it was a good idea, so I just drove our cliff down that there mountain. And next thing I knew, I was stuck. It's a terrible idea. They're running him into the ground, and they're going to end up ruining a good talent.
They should have ran the ball more. That's definitely what they should have done.
For sure.
So. Does Luke Kuechly play in this game?
I really have no idea. I haven't seen the practice, what he's been like so far this week. But if he's out, that's a huge loss for them. If he's playing, I might switch this pick. Sorry, guys.
No, Luke Kuechly is going to be out again.
You think so?
Absolutely.
If Luke Kuechly is out, Doug Martin, does his value go up? Obviously it would.
Heck yes.
Abso-friggin-lutely.
Verge of running back one. High or low one,
low
high
one,
two,
high two. Absolutely.
Yep.
Would you start him over someone, say, let's...
Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah.
No.
Why not? Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell's the best running back in the NFL.
How about over Christian McCaffrey?
No.
And PPR? Close?
Yes.
Probably not.
No.
Still
close,
no?
Getting close to 10 receptions a game, no way.
Okay.
Yeah, Bucks really don't have a very good defense. Think they're gonna play better this week because they're at home and they got the cannons and the hordes of pirates in the stands. But
is that what a horde of pirates is considered?
I have no
idea. A group of pirates.
It's your team, you fucking idiot.
I've never heard of it called a horde. I would imagine a horde of zombies.
What would you call
a horde of something else?
A plethora of pirates.
Pod.
A pod of pirates.
A pod of pirates.
A group of pirates.
I would assume a group.
Gaggle.
A gaggle?
Yeah.
Aren't those vagina exercises?
Well, that's just not nice.
I am being serious. I'm still confused on what a gaggle is.
All right, so regardless, gaggles are over. Let's move on to the next game that we have. Houston Texans at the Seattle Seahawks. And what are your guys' thoughts on this game? First afternoon game after the noon games.
What I hate about this week is that there's only two games in the afternoon.
Stupid.
You got this game, then the Cowboys-Redskins. But this game, this is a big deal for the NFL. Right now, the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. He might be on the cusp of becoming a star quarterback in the NFL. He has been tearing everyone up in the league. Every defense he has played, he has put on monster numbers. But you got to look at the teams he has faced. Not very good. Played the Patriots when they were bad. Put up tons of numbers against the Chiefs when that game was pretty much over. Had tons of garbage. Destroyed the Tennessee Titans. So it'll be interesting to see him against one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. One of the best overall defense in the NFL. But going into Seattle, it's a hard place to play. The 12th man, it's legit. I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks, and I think Deshaun Watson gets out-dueled by Mr. Russell Wilson.
Deshaun Watson is going to learn a lot about himself and a lot about the quarterback position against the Seattle Seahawks and the 12th man, but it cannot be under-expressed how much the Houston Texans defense is going to be able to torch that Seattle Seahawks offensive line. That is just absolutely atrocious. They have no running game. They have no offensive line. It is going to be Russell Wilson and his wide receiving core against Deshaun Watson and whatever he can muster up against the 12th man. Very interesting. Deshaun Watson actually reminds me a lot of a young Russell Wilson, which I think makes this game much more interesting. I hope to hear the announcers dwell on that a little bit. Going to be a very close game, but just as Monday Night Football was the coming out party for one Carson Wentz, this will be the coming out party for one Deshaun Watson. Not as impressive in stats, but his ability to rebound after getting roughed up a little bit. A very fun game. 24-21, the Houston Texans win in hostile territory.
I kind of wanted to go with the Texans as well, but I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. 12th man is a completely different animal. I think that Deshaun Watson, I'm not going to say he's going to struggle, but at the same time, I think the wide receivers are the ones that are going to struggle. I think you're going to see a couple big runs out of Deshaun Watson when he needs to make his runs, but I think the wide receivers for the Texans are going to have a rough day. Will Fuller, his days of the two touchdowns, over 100 yards, that's not going to happen on Sunday. It's just not going to happen. So with that being said, I'm going to go with Seattle in this game. So next up, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins.
NFC East rivalry matchups, they're hard to predict. We've seen crazy crap happen the last few years. Dallas coming off a big-time win. Washington Redskins coming off a big-time loss on Monday night. Kirk Cousins, he's a completely different quarterback from when he's in prime time to the normal scheduled games. I'm going with Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins to get a big-time win, a must-win for him in this game. I just don't think the Cowboys have the guys on defense to shut down the Washington Redskins' extremely potent offense.
This is going to be a wake-up call to the Dallas Cowboys. A wake-up call that, hey, you know what? Your defense has been able to kind of skate by here. They've been embarrassed at times, but they are not good enough. You're going to be 3-4 going into the halfway of the season mark. It needs to be addressed in some form pretty quickly here. Kirk Cousins is very good, and he is still, you know, playing for his future. You've mentioned, you know, teams that you think that he's going to go with in the future. There's a lot of stories coming out about him right now on why that the relationship is so strained. Kirk Cousins still has a lot to prove, and he's going to start with that this week. Redskins win against the Cowboys.
Man, I had the Redskins as well, but I
kind of shocked.
Yeah, I really don't want to pick the same game as you guys, but Redskins for me, kind of everything that you guys said, I thought that the big win that the Cowboys did have, 40-10, but at the same time, it is over the 49ers, so not a very good football team.
Yeah.
The Redskins lost 34-24, over against a very good Eagles team. So I think that these are two very good teams going against each other. But like you said, I think that Kirk Cousins has to prove something, that he is going to be worth all that money that he's commanding. So I really think that we're going to see Chris Thompson. We're going to see a lot of Kirk Cousins throwing the ball around. And honestly, I think we're going to see a big game out of Vernon Davis, of all people. So he did almost have 100 yards this past week, but I think he'll have at least a touchdown this game as well.
You see Chris Thompson scoring a touchdown last week, trying to hand the ball to a little girl, and she just sat there crossed arm and wouldn't take it.
Awesome.
Next game.
Savage.
Pittsburgh Steelers at the Detroit Lions.
I'm pretty excited about this game. Lions coming off the bye. Most likely Golden Tate, their number one receiver, will not be playing. Steelers, they're playing that Le'Veon Bell type football. They're going to continue to do that. The Lions will try to make it close in the fourth quarter, but they will not be able to get it done. They will not be able to stop this potent Pittsburgh Steelers running attack. Steelers keep pace with the New England Patriots and hope that they can get that number one seed.
First week in a long time, I've been extremely excited about both the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. The Lions, this is a big game for them, especially at home. I have to take the Lions. I think the Steelers are good, but the Lions defense is good enough to realize that they're only forcing the ball to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and they're going to be able to do just enough. Matthew Stafford is the king of just enough. That should be his nickname. So give me Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions, 34-31.
I am going to go with the Detroit Lions as well. And reason being is I think that the Detroit Lions defense is, I don't want to say underrated, but it is the defensive special teams. They get down early, but then the offense comes back and rallies them. But at the same time, they do get interceptions. They get turnovers. They cause fumbles. They get touchdowns on that second or on that defense. So, actually, fantasy purposes-wise, they are a top-five defense, fantasy defense, even with their bye week this past week. So, Lions, definitely, if they're there, they were on our waivers 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when I picked them up. And it's very shocking. I looked at their numbers. I'm like, there is no way the Lions are that good. But you know what? They are, and they get those turnovers. So, great secondary that they have.
That was a shitty start by you. It worked out, but it made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that was didn't make sense
at all. Just talks about how great it was, but fuck you, it was terrible.
Well, who would start a defense special teams against the Saints? Doesn't make any sense
at New Orleans.
You should not do
at
that.
New Orleans. No. Got me 17 points. So, moving on. Next game, Monday night game. We have the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Both these teams are coming off losses to division rivals. Chiefs are at home, though. They normally play pretty good at home, and this is going to be an interesting matchup. Denver's defense kind of been keeping them in most of the games all season. They started off hot, but I'm extremely worried about that offense. Trevor Siemian is not looking very good. That offensive line is struggling. C.J. Anderson cannot run the football, and we've seen Jamal Charles and Booker both take touches away from C.J. Anderson. He's becoming less and less fantasy relevant week in and week out. I got to go with the Chiefs in this game. Teams have struggled trying to limit Alex Smith and the weapons for this offense. I just have to go with them. I don't see them losing three in a row.
I did not mention it in the earlier the show yesterday. Did you guys see C.J. Spiller was cut again?
Again?
Yeah, he was cut again. I meant to bring it up, and I totally blanked on it.
How many times has that been?
Four times, I believe.
It's got to be more.
No, I think it was four. He's been, I believe, since February, he's been cut four times. You can look it up to find the details. But, yeah, cut again. Listen, I never thought I'd be so excited about just the matchups of it all, right? Two defenses that are both supposed to be elite. C.J. Anderson against Kareem Hunt. Tyreek Hill against Demaryius Thomas. Alex Smith versus Trevor Siemian. And I'm excited? What world are we living in, gentlemen? But it's true. It's true. It's damn true. I am excited. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid here a little bit. Chiefs have struggled, undefeated to two losses, but they get back on track. The Kansas City Chiefs win this game.
This is the fifth time he has been released total.
My apologies.
And, I don't get it, man. It just makes no sense. I feel bad for
that. At least he's used to it.
No, what I don't know, like, he's literally, like, a battered housewife at this point. Why keep going back to him? CJ, he's a drunk. He doesn't love you. he hits you. Don't go. Keep going back. Why do you keep going back? It doesn't even make any sense.
Wants that money.
I feel bad for him.
Used and abused.
That just means that Chikandra Guess is probably going to be nearing a return, right? Most likely. Has to be. So, it is what it is. I have the Chiefs winning this game with the help of CJ Spiller. No, joking, obviously. I like Kareem Hunt this week against the Broncos, even though that the Broncos defense has been playing pretty decent. I still think that Hunt will have a big game. And I like Alex Smith. Trevor Siemian. This might be the game where we see Trevor Siemian swapped out, and we might not see him in the starting lineup in the near future after this game. They say that Siemian is the guy, but this might be the turning point for it. And it would be what? The Brossweiler, right?
The Brossweiler, yep.
So, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Do you think that they should continue on with Siemian, or do you think they should turn to Brock Osweiler?
I would stick with Siemian, especially Emmanuel Sanders has been out. If he's out this week, I think he's a big part of that offense, and I could see why their offense is struggling altogether. The bigger concern is the offensive line for me.
Stick with Siemian until Paxton Lynch becomes available.
You think so?
Yep.
All right. So let me ask you guys this now that we recap this this week real quick. Just want to ask you some of the stuff in the division-wise. So we have the Lions, we have the Packers, we have the Vikings. They're all at some pretty decent records, right? Who is going to come out on top in that division? We have the Vikings at 5-2, we have the Packers at 4-3, Lions at 3-3. You know what? I'm going to throw the Bears in there at 3-4 because they have 3 wins as well.
Hey, Josh, go fuck yourself.
Who comes out in that division? Because we look at Green Bay, no Aaron Rodgers, maybe out for the rest of the season, maybe back at the end of the season. Vikings, Case Keenum as their quarterback. And the Lions kind of hurt at the wide receiver spot, and the Bears win with trick plays and defense.
I am going to be a little bit of a surprise. I really still think that the Detroit Lions find a way to win this division. I feel like they're the grittiest team in this division by far. The Vikings have the best defense. If Dalvin Cook, and I don't want to just say that everything depends on one person, but if Dalvin Cook was healthy, I'd probably pick the Vikings. But with the unknown at running back and at quarterback and Stephon Diggs is injured at wide receiver, there's just so many unknowns there. The Lions at least know who they are, right? It's Matthew Stafford and whatever he puts together, whatever jumble. They're used to this. They're used to this type of situation. They have a good secondary. Give me the Lions to win this division at 9-7.
I think this is one of the easiest divisions to predict. I'm going with the Vikings. Look, we've had all this negative stuff happen to them, and they're still 5-2, and they're playing the Browns this week. So there's a very good chance they will be going into Week 8 being 6-2 and have a stranglehold on that division, and especially if Teddy Bridgewater can get healthy, if layabouts Murray can look like he looked like last week. This team's going to be scary. They're producing and winning without a lot of their big-time stars on offense.
Their points difference for the Bears, minus 29. They have 3 wins. That's pretty crazy to think of.
Yep.
Because
they cheat at home.
They do. They do definitely cheat at home.
They beat Baltimore on the road, you bitch.
Yeah, they definitely cheated at home. Let's go to the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons, and Tampa Bay Bucks.
Give me the Saints in this division. I like what they're doing on the defensive side of the football, which it's kind of crazy to think about that this team is actually playing some defense. They've had a couple good drafts in a row. Got a lot of good young talent on that defense that is playing extremely fast. They're able to run the football, and I like what they're doing. And they got the best quarterback in the division in my eyes.
Tom, I agree with everything you said outside of the best quarterback in the division. And my problem is they're just not the most complete team. The Atlanta Falcons, for as bad as they've been, are still the most complete team. a lot of experience on both sides of the ball. The Saints are now trying to emulate what the Falcons have at running back. So I still think at the end of the day, we're going to come out of this and say, good for them. The Falcons found a way. The Falcons won the NFC South in 2017.
Last one I want to ask about. Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't even mention the Colts.
I did because they're at two wins still.
That's dumb. I think
I think it's between Jacksonville and Houston. Yeah. I know Tennessee's got four wins, but I think it's got to be between those two teams, right?
With as good as Jacksonville's defense has been playing, the offense has been really ugly. Yeah, Blake Bortles finally had a good game last week against the Colts, but
I started Blake Bortles last week in the league.
I don't blame you. It was smart. Everyone's tearing apart the Colts secondary. I still got to give it to the Texans, though. They are missing a couple key defensive pieces, but I think they have enough firepower in the offensive side of the football to get the job done and win the division at 9-7.
The Saxonville Jaguars, that defense, my goodness gracious. That secondary, unreal. They put a ton of pressure on the quarterback. Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette, as long as he is healthy. The Jaguars are a real team, and we're going to see them in the playoffs this year, gentlemen.
We did have a couple injuries this past week. Not a ton, just a couple. One of the biggest ones were Carson Palmer, broken left arm, right?
Yep.
So broken left arm puts a lot of fantasy complications on some people's teams. Some people may have Adrian Peterson, where they traded for him. Stupid, but you did. And then some people probably have Larry Fitzgerald. Kind of a bummer now that their quarterback is going to be Drew Stanton because he's god-awful. So, with that being said, would you consider picking up Drew Stanton? I wouldn't. But would you have to consider it if you had Carson Palmer and with all these teams on bye? Although I think Cardinals are on a bye this week as well, right?
If you... Fantasy value... Stay as far away from the Arizona Cardinals as you possibly can. Larry Fitzgerald went from like a low-end number one wide receiver in PPR leagues to a low-end three. Like, that's how dramatically he drops without Carson Palmer. It's atrocious over there. No running game. AP is the only quote-unquote valuable asset in that entire offense right now, in my opinion. And that's only if I have a guy on bye would I contemplate starting him.
Yeah, the only guy in the whole Arizona Cardinals team that I would have on a roster is Fitz. Besides that, I wouldn't want anyone, and I wouldn't feel comfortable even starting him. Unless, at worst case, it's a bad week for byes, and you have him at your flex spot or wide receiver three.
Bruce Arians is...
awesome.
He's super awesome, but he's definitely going to have to be on some type of heart medication or something because he's just going to be angry for the next 12 weeks.
Another quarterback hurt, Jay Cutler, two broken ribs. So now we're going to see Matt Moore stepping into the starting lineup. Would you guys consider picking him up in certain leagues if you were looking for a quarterback?
Yes, the Dolphins are now Super Bowl contenders with Matt Moore. In all honesty... I wouldn't want to start them. Baltimore, they're tough. They're a tough defense, especially at home. They normally do pretty well against opposing quarterbacks. But if you're in a tough pickle, I'd be okay starting Matt Moore. We saw him last week put up a good amount of fantasy points in the second half.
Oh, Tom and his tough pickle references. I try to stay away from Jay Cutler as much as possible. Only if I had no one else. And Matt Moore is a shockingly worse version of Jay Cutler.
What?
He is. He absolutely is. So, no, stay away from Matt Moore.
Let's go on to the waiver wires here. So, we have a couple running backs possibly on waivers that you guys could be looking for. Latavius Murray, worth a pickup if he's still on waivers.
Yes.
Chances are he's there.
Pick him up.
Deion Lewis, we have a couple running backs that are getting a lot of carries in the New England offense. Mike Gillisley's carries are dropping and dropping and dropping. Deion Lewis, worth an ad?
Personally, I would not.
PPR, I'd think about it.
Would you rather have Deion Lewis or James White?
Deion Lewis.
Rank the Patriots running backs. Deion Lewis, James White, Rex Burkhead, Mike Gillisley.
Poo, 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 negative poo.
Shit.
It's tough.
I mean, it's honestly, very tough.
It's different and every week.
You can't rank them. You can't.
You almost have to go like this. Who had a big week this past week for the Patriots? They're not going to have a big week next week.
And pick one of the three. Anyone who says, hey, I can rank the Patriots backfield, they're just a liar. They're just guessing. It's not real.
Alex Collins, we've seen his name floated around. We talked about him possibly being a waiver wire pickup. A lot of people reached out and picked him up. If he was still there, would you guys be thinking about picking him up? He was the leading rusher for the Baltimore Ravens this past week.
If I'm really weak at the running back position, yes.
I'd rather be starting Buck Allen in PPR, though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Wide receivers. Let's go on to that. We have Juju Smith-Schuster with his game that he had this past week. Are you going out and reaching out and picking him up?
Probably not. He's been finding the end zone, though, and he's been getting more looks than Mr. Martavis Bryant. Doesn't have the upside in my eyes as Martavis Bryant, but he's a okay wide receiver three or flex start if you're desperate.
I would look at him. I would also look at a guy who's being undervalued a little bit here, Marquise Goodwin. 5-2 and then 4 receptions, no touchdowns, but has somewhat of a significant fantasy value here, especially in PPR leagues.
Kenny Galladay, if he's good to go this week with no Golden Tate, is he a must-add if he's on waivers?
Yes.
Yes.
Kenny Stills with Matt Moore being at the quarterback, and we have seen Kenny Stills scoring touchdowns with Matt Moore.
Yep.
Must-add.
Death, taxes, and Kenny Stills scores touchdowns with Matt Moore.
Robbie Anderson for the New York Jets. Is he a must-add? He's been a target hog over for the Jets with Josh McCown as quarterback. Is he a must-add?
He should be on someone's roster in your league.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if he's not, I'd be kind of shocked, even though this says that he's only owned in 17% of leagues. A little shocking for me to see that. Marquise Goodwin owned in 4% of leagues. I think he should be added as well. DeMarcus Robinson from Kansas City.
Yes.
Sure.
Did you see his game at all this past week or
nope?
So he had, what, 6 catches for 69 yards?
Yeah, it's been like back-to-back pretty good usage for him.
So not too bad. Paul Richardson for the Seattle Seahawks. He had another touchdown this past week. Only owned 12% of leagues. Thoughts on him?
I don't know if that was a touchdown. I don't know if you saw that play. It was a little sketchy, but I guess it did count. It's kind of that boomer bust play, but he has been finding the end zone, and it seems like Russell Wilson trusts him.
Deontay Thompson for the Buffalo Bills.
No. That's a pipe dream.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to really rely on him at all.
I don't think anybody wants to rely on him. I think they're making a stab at it. If you had to pick one of these running backs to add to your team for waiver purposes, Jalen Richard or DeAndre Washington? It's a very good argument Jalen either Richard. Side.
Jalen Richard.
Why?
I just think he's going to be the guy who, I know they're going to try to keep it as even as possible, but he's going to get the majority of the snaps. He's going to be on the high end, I should say, of the snaps.
I'd take Washington. I think he had more snaps last week, more touches.
Jalen Richard, I like for the fact that I think he's going to get more carries, and I think he's going to get more of the catches out of the backfield. I think he's a more dynamic, explosive player than DeAndre Washington, but I think Washington is going to get the goal line carries if they're close to the goal line. So
they should just throw it to Cooper.
Theoretically, right?
20 times a game.
Anybody else that you guys are thinking off of waivers? Anybody else worth an add? Brandon Coleman maybe this week against the Bears?
Nope.
There's one guy on this list that I'm looking at here. Would you add a TJ Yeldon? Because nope. I know that they're on bye, but what if it comes out that next week after this bye, it comes out and they say, you know what, Leonard Fournette needs one more week.
He's not good. He played a very really bad defense.
Then would it be Chris Ivory?
Don't add either of those guys.
I think Ivory should be owned. I think in most cases he will be getting a workhorse level amount of touches if Fournette is out and he's got a better chance of finding the end zone. And we've seen the best out of Yeldon and Ivory in the past. Ivory has finished in the top 20 as a running back. Yeldon really hasn't, and I don't think he's that good.
I'm going to go with someone, if you're on a bye week and you need to fill some space, Josh Doctson. Playing the Cowboys, good matchup. They've like Josh mentioned earlier, want to see what he has to offer. He had a lot of targets last week. It only amounted to 3 or 4 receptions, but who knows? This week could be the week. If I'm going out on a limb, that's the type of guy I'm going for.
If you had Delanie Walker, Jonnu Smith, we talked about him earlier. Is he an ad?
Yeah, if you're desperate. It's tight end right now. There's 5 guys.
That's atrocious.
Yeah, who should be started week in and week out. If you don't have one of those top-level guys, then you're going to be streaming week to week in my eyes.
Before we go to break, our second time, I do want to mention one other guy because he is on track to play week 9. You ready for it?
Ready.
And this is only if you have room on your bench. Don't expect him to be a starter. Don't expect him to be a world beater or anything like that. He is just a guy that is worth an ad. D.D. Westbrook. Jacksonville Jaguars. You can rail on it as much as you want to him, how terrible of an idea it is. I picked him up 3 weeks ago. I have faith. I think he was the best looking rookie priest or rookie receiver in the preseason. So I think he was the best looking rookie wide receiver in the preseason. And he was the best wide receiver in college last year. So that being said,
he looks like a bow-legged Devin Hester.
I think he's
worth that. I hope that bitch doesn't catch another touchdown pass his entire career. Hope he gets hit by a train.
I think he's worth an ad. If you guys have space on your bench, I think it's worth the ad. You don't think it's just worth an ad just to do it if you have a roster spot?
But what's honestly, what's his ceiling? What's his ceiling? Three touchdowns is his ceiling probably?
Who knows?
It's not worth rostering.
Playing on that offense, I wouldn't really want.
Absolutely not. No. Train wreck. He is a train wreck of a human being, of a football player.
He's not a very good human being. We can all agree to that.
But he's not a good football player.
How do you say he's not a good football player?
Because he's not a good football player. He's not.
How? He was one of the best.
He's a bum-ass version of Devin Hester.
He was one of the best wide receivers in college football last year.
Why?
Because he was.
No, why?
Big 12.
Put up big numbers. It is what it is, Tim. He put up big numbers. That's all I have to say. But besides that, that's all we have for you guys this week. Hope you enjoyed our week 8 predictions and some of our fantasy possible guys that you should be looking on the waiver wires there. So be on the lookout for our next episode, which would be, of course, our fantasy forecast for the week number 8. So stay tuned for that. And again, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed. For Tim, Tom, myself, we'll see you next time.